Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it, and
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. Glad to have you with us today. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope has the day off. Zach Jones alongside. I don't normally like to start the shows, any show, encouraging you to go listen to something else. But I do want to let you know that there is a very serious situation unfolding on the New York State Thruway. The Interstate 90 is closed as of now. Westbound from the Pembroke exit and eastbound from the Depew exit because of a bus rollover crash. There are, as of now, according to our sister station, WBEN News Radio 930, at least three fatalities reported in this tour bus crash. According to New York State Police, a total of 52 people were on board. I will do my level best to keep an eye on this story, mostly let you know if and when the roadway is open, but it's a very dire, very serious situation unfolding this afternoon. East of Buffalo on the New York State Thruway. So if you are planning on traveling, it would make other plans. Obviously, big traffic tie-ups. Traffic is being diverted at those exits that I mentioned, westbound Pembroke, eastbound Depew. So you can expect huge delays on the roadways around those exits. And certainly keep the people involved in this and their families in your thoughts. You know, if and when I find out the road is open and there's more details, I'll try to pass that along. But if you're looking for up-to-the-minute news on this situation and want to keep track of it, I would encourage you to tune in to 9:30 a.m. WBEN News Radio 9:30. I wanted to at least mention that off the top here before I start talking about Tre'Davious White's unknown injury and gambling, because we got a very serious situation going on the thruway. Again, at least three fatalities as of now. That's just from the last 10 minutes or so, according to New York State Police. Could be more. I mean, when you see worded like that, at least, you can be bracing for there to be more bad news. So 52 people on board the bus, it rolled over. The photos are, it's a ghastly looking situation. So I just wanted to get that on the table at the outset here and let you know that we'll be doing the best we can. But again, News Radio 930 WBEN to stay on top of that situation. They're built for stuff like this, that station. So hopefully they can get you the information you need. But again, if you're traveling or planning to travel, I mean, if you were on the 90 or are caught up in it, then, well, you're caught up in it. And, you know, there's not going to be a lot that you can do right now. But if you were heading in either of those directions, planning on using that chunk of road for part of your travel here heading into the weekend, try to make some alternative plans, because it doesn't sound like something that's going to clear up real fast. So there is that. Hope you all having a good Friday here. I missed yesterday. I was really bummed out about that. I just did not. I just kind of fell apart in the morning. It just came on me. I don't know if something I ate or what, but I got really sick during the day and missed the show. And I'm bummed out about that. And, you know, I don't like missing work, period. But I especially felt badly because Mike is off today. And then I'm off after this. Today's my last day until after Labor Day. This is standard operating procedure for our show. I almost always am off this last week of August heading into the Labor Day holiday weekend. So it'll be, you know, yesterday would have been my last chance to be together with Mike on the show until we're there. And by there, I mean the football season is upon us. Like we come back from, you know, the Labor Day weekend, the Monday off, and show up on Tuesday, and there's a game on Thursday. Doesn't involve the Bills, but still, there's a game on Thursday, Cowboys-Eagles, and then Sunday night, the Bills and Ravens play. And so it's creeping closer and closer as summer is winding down here, and I wish I had more clarity on what happened to Tre'Davious White yesterday. We still don't know. This is the way, you know, things sometimes operate. I mean, occasionally you might get word from, you know, one of the big reporters, or even Sal from time to time will get tipped off on what actually is going on with a player that suffers an injury like Tre'Davious White did yesterday during practice. I know I went back and listened to Sal's appearance with Mike yesterday while I was homesick, and, you know, Sal laid out, you know, what the scenario looked like and everything, but we don't know. And this was forecast by Sal and Mike talking yesterday afternoon in the 5 o'clock hour. There is no media availability today. There is no practice. The what the Bills are doing today is flying to Tampa, and Sal is involved in that. We're hoping that he arrives on time and that we can visit with him in the 5 o'clock hour, but I doubt he's going to have any information, because again, the Bills don't have any media availability, and I just would be surprised if they put out a news release themselves detailing what happened to Tre'Davious White and what kind of timeline we're talking about. I know I heard Sal and Mike talking about whether White would be on the trip or not, and even that can be, I don't know, false flag is a little bit strong, but like not always indicative. Sal mentioned how Cam Lewis didn't make the trip last week to Chicago, but was right back at practice this week. So knowing or not knowing whether Tre'Davious White is on this trip could get you a lean one way or the other. I would say obviously if he's on the trip, that would be encouraging. But again, we're not going to know until maybe after the game tomorrow night. I mean, McDermott's not going to do media until then. So I would imagine that's going to be the next. That's a long time to go with uncertainty about a position we have largely been stressing over since before the draft, and certainly since Maxwell Hairston went down with an injury early in camp. He is still a ways away. It's been speculated often by people who cover the team and talk about the team, including us in here, that maybe IR to start the year is in the window for Maxwell Hairston, the Bills' first-round draft pick at corner. It was a nice story when camp started that Tre'Davious White was seemingly outplaying the rookie. And, you know, it was said before Hairston got hurt even that if, you know, this is a true competition, White was winning it. But again, listening to Sal yesterday with Mike, didn't love his weekend in Chicago. Well, really, the practice. I don't think White saw the field against the Bears in the game itself on Sunday night. But in the practice session, Sal thought it was uneven, maybe. I don't know. That wasn't his word, but that's how it sounded to me when he was describing it. So I guess we're all sort of back to on alert about corner two and what they're going to do, what the Bills are going to do there. And a lot of it obviously hinges on knowing what the way forward is going to be for Tre'Davious White. Cross your fingers, cross your toes, cross everything you got that you can cross, that he's not seriously hurt. The way Sal described the scene yesterday that I heard, White looked visibly frustrated initially when talking with trainers while still on the field. He wasn't on the field, but you know, on the on the surface of the field, like off to the side behind the bench, is how it was described. And there was frustration there. And eventually he got a ride from the field back to the locker rooms they're using now, because they're not using the game day locker rooms in the stadium currently. So be careful about assuming things because of the card. It was a long ride, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, we don't know. And we may not know for more than 24 hours yet. Right, maybe more like 30 hours before we have any information from the Bills. Again, if something breaks on that, we'll be right here on top of it to fill you in. But I'm wondering now how fans are feeling about what should the Bills do about that position. Again, I heard Sal this morning with Sneaky Joe DiBiase saying that, you know, Dane Jackson, Jamarcus Ingram, like those are the first two guys up. There's a draft pick in Dorian Strong there as well. I think Strong is making the team. I'd be surprised if they cut him, even though he was a Saturday pick, right round six, I think. But I don't think he's ahead of Jackson and nor Ingram at this point. But it was interesting to hear Sal say that in his view. And this makes sense to me anyway. Like Dane Jackson is probably, he's the next most experienced guy. He's got, you know, time in the system, of course, prior to his 1 year departure in Carolina. But the way Sal said it was like, if Tre'Davious White isn't hurt, that Dane Jackson is probably in trouble to make the team. And yet, if he is, maybe he's in line to be the starter, which is kind of a little bit of a riddle, right? Like you're telling me he's the next man up, but also if everything goes well, if White is not injured seriously and they can count on him to be back practicing before the opener and obviously on the field for the opener, that maybe because of the other numbers they've got, Dorian Strong, a new draft pick, Jamarcus Ingram, who they've liked, that maybe Jackson is an odd man out at corner. So it's kind of like an all or nothing thing. If there's injuries, enough injuries, Hairston and White particularly, then maybe Jackson is penciled in as a starter until anyone else can get back. But if, say, White isn't seriously hurt, maybe Jackson's in trouble to make the team. And that does not give you, I don't think, it doesn't give me a ton of confidence in the whole operation, right? So what I'm wondering is, are we back to thinking about Rasul Douglas? Are we back to thinking about Stephon Gilmore? Remember him? You know, Douglas is a more recent Bill, more familiar with the recent system here. So maybe that makes more sense. But would you want them to go into that market? I think, you know, thinking about this final preseason game and then cut down on Tuesday all around the league, you know, corner was already somewhat in the, you know, in focus for Bills fans as a problem position, and maybe you'd be thinking about supplementing it with someone else who maybe you like better than the guys you have here in depth positions at corner. You know, safety could fit this same bill. Although I myself have kind of calmed down on safety after spending all day Monday talking about Cole Bishop and DeMar Hamlin. But that's just me. But between now and, say, next Wednesday, after cutdowns on Tuesday, I'm wondering if you have out there, 803-0550 is the number, if you want to share an opinion about this or answer this question, is there a position you think the Bills should be most aggressively pursuing as cutdowns come, right? If there's a guy out there that, because of money and depth at the position, a veteran corner, is that worth trading a day three draft pick next year for? Ahead of, if it's a guy that a team is already planning to release as they get to the, I mean, that can happen. We've seen some trades happen here in the league in the last few days. The 49ers have done a couple of things. The Vikings are said to be pursuing Adam Thielen. I've not seen that's gotten across the finish line yet. But there's, you know, it's that time of the year, right? Teams that have guys that just don't fit anymore. It doesn't have to be. I mean, it's never a great sign if a veteran player is going to be released in a numbers game, but it usually is attached to a larger salary. And if they've got a kid who's shown up this year and maybe even somewhat unexpectedly outperformed what they were expecting and outperformed the veteran with the bigger salary, you can end up in a spot where a guy that could still be useful to you is available. So I'm wondering if fans are thinking about that. I definitely am. Again, I'll be away after today, but I'll be paying attention, keeping an eye on it, and curious to see what the Bills do end up doing there. If anything, again, we're sort of in a holding pattern because we don't know. The team obviously knows. So whatever, their actions maybe will even precede any speculation about Tuesday and waiver claims and trades that could happen to supplement the position. I think if we would see the Bills do something between now and cutdown day, I think between now and tomorrow night, say, when we might find out more information about Tre'Davious White's injury, that would maybe be a tell, right? Indicator that they are trying to find someone to supplement what they've got. Because I got to tell you, like, if Dane Jackson's first in line and he's realistically in danger of not making the team if other guys are healthy, that doesn't sound like the best plan to me to be your starter. Now, if it's a situation where, you know, White has something that's, you know, a couple of weeks, he's in doubt to make the opener, but he could be back in time, or he could miss a week or two. Maybe you feel like you can get by without doing anything outside of the roster right now, as far as acquiring a player, going and signing Rasul Douglas, who is still available out there, or Stephon Gilmore, or any other name that comes available when cutdowns get here. You know, that is probably prudent not to like overreact, but if it's anything major, like multiple games missed type situation with White, boy, I'd be ready to get pretty busy looking at what might be available out there to me. Again, either via trade prior to Tuesday, or just simply combing the market and looking for guys that, you know, you've got, you know, good grades on, knowing if they were to become available, then this is someone you might feel like is better than what you've got in-house here. So I would think the Bills personnel department is working hard on that, again, in case they end up needing it. 803-0550 is the number. We've got a final preseason game coming up on Saturday at 7:30. Pre-game coverage tomorrow begins at 2 p.m., I believe. There is a special, I'm going to say special, Sports Talk Saturday. It's special because my kid's co-hosting it. Zach, do you know who, is he doing that with you? Or is that?
No, it's going to be with Josh.
With Josh okay, Schmidt. Josh Schmidt. So, you know, we'll you know, it's pre-game. So 11 a.m. coverage will begin heading towards tomorrow night's preseason finale in Tampa. And the one thought I have that to me is, I don't think it's exactly a hot take, but it's an opinion that I feel pretty strongly about looking ahead to tomorrow's game. I'm thrilled to hear that Josh Allen's not going to play. That has been my preferred mode of operation here for multiple years. It's never happened that he hasn't played at least a few snaps in the preseason, but it looks like that's what's going to happen here. McDermott said yesterday that Allen would not be playing in this game, but Cole Bishop is going to play. I don't know if McDermott definitively talked about Curtis Samuel as it pertains to this game, but that is a guy that I would play. I would play Curtis Samuel close to what you consider to be his normal amount of snaps for a regular season game tomorrow. And the reason for that is not to see what he can do for me. It's mostly to see if he can get through a game. It's a little backwards, right? If he's going to matter in the big scheme of things, like if he's secure and on the team, then obviously you can throw this out the window. But I think his injury history and his inability to stay healthy, going back to last season and into this summer, I feel like the thing I'm most concerned about is not what he can do for me if he's healthy. Because I think if he's healthy, we're not even having this conversation. He's on your team. But he's had trouble staying healthy. And if I'm going to count on him, I would want to see him play 20 snaps, 30 snaps. I want to see him get a workload tomorrow. Again, not to see what he can do, but to see physically how he responds to it, right? And this is a little cold and maybe harsh also, if those aren't somewhat synonymous in this context, but if he can't get through 20 to 30 snaps in a preseason game, I don't care who's throwing him the ball. I don't even care if they throw him the ball. I don't care if they hand it to him on jet sweeps. I just want him to take snaps and actively participate in the game. And if he can physically get through that, then I might feel a little bit better about him being on the roster. He is the guy to me that I'd be most worried about. And look, releasing him is not ideal. You're not saving any money. You're going to have more dead money piled on to the dead money you've already got. But it would free up a roster spot for someone else who maybe you feel like you can count on more. And that is really where my mind is at with Curtis Samuel. This is a player I liked the idea of signing him, but last year just did not really go well at all, to put it mildly. He did contribute towards the end when he was assumed to be healthy, but this has been uneven again, and he qualifies to me as a starter or a veteran player who, if he's healthy and there's no question about this, then he's on your team. And usually you protect guys like that from playing in the preseason and getting hurt. But if I can't get him through 20 or 30 snaps tomorrow, then I think maybe the decision makes itself for me. And I would want to take that out for a spin before I just put him in bubble wrap and say, okay, we're saving him for the opener against Baltimore and for the regular season. Because if the first time he has a regular game workload, something's going to go sideways for him physically, then I think I've done my roster a disservice. So I don't know if that's exactly a hot take or anything, but I'm hoping Curtis Samuel plays and plays a decent amount in this game tomorrow. Let's fire up the phones here. CJ is first up this segment. Hi, CJ. Thank you for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, I appreciate it. So I do like what you said as far as like going to get like some corners to fill these roles just in case Trey White isn't available. But I would go a different route, and I would say bolster the D-line to help the back end. And that's just – I know the Bills have been looking for it. They use a first-round pick on Rousseau and then a second-round pick on Boogie Basham. And then that, like, they've been looking for this D-line. If you really believe that's what you need to win, go get it. Because we've seen last year in the playoffs, Benford went down with an injury. We're back where we are right now. Greg Rousseau – Douglas was on one side, mm-hmm. and then we have somebody else on the other side. Like,
Elam. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, why not just really, if you think you want to help the back end with the front, go get the front. If you think for years that's what you needed.
CJ, the thing that I would say to you is that they've already done that. I mean, they poured resource upon resource, not all the way back to the draft with Rousseau and Boogie Basham, who moved along relatively quickly. But, you know, A.J. Epinesa was after that. And then you've got Ed Oliver mixed in there. And then you've got this year where you've got a second-round pick in T.J. Sanders, a fourth-round pick in Deion Walker. You've got free agents in Larry Ogunjobi and Joey Bosa. I mean, Michael Hoyt. They poured resources in. I think their D-line is on the floor. Like, they've got their D-linemen. I know we can all get intoxicated by the idea of, like, a Michael Parsons or a Trey Hendrickson or something. But, and look, those players are players that are of a caliber that the Bills simply do not have here. Rousseau is the closest, probably. Maybe Bosa if he's healthy. But that's always been a question mark with him. I'd be really surprised if they did anything really meter moving at defensive line. I think they've done their work there, And that's not been a position of problem here in the spring and summer. They've been relatively healthy up there. So I'd be surprised if they did something to supplement that group. I think the question would be corner, and then maybe to a lesser degree, at least for me today, as opposed to Monday, safety. Thank you for the phone call, though, CJ. Do appreciate it. We'll hit up a timeout. Our buddy Sammy P, Sam Padiatovich from Bet Sweats, coming up right after the break. We've got Matt Perino from the Shout Podcast and NewYorkUpstate.com coming up at 4. Sale in the 5 o'clock hour, depending on travel. That is the way forward here today. Again, thank you for joining me along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Have a lot more to offer you on this fatal bus crash on the I-90 near Pembroke, other than we're still sitting on at least 3 fatalities involved, 52 people on board. Latest I do have from WBEN is that the eastbound thruway from Depew to Pembroke is expected to be closed for the remainder of the day. I don't have an update on what that means to the westbound traffic. When we first started the show half an hour ago, I mentioned that westbound, the thruway was closed at Pembroke. I don't know if that's going to continue to be the case. Just really in general, avoid the I-90 east of the city. East of the city. It's a serious situation, and we'll try to keep on top of it as best we can. If you want up-to-the-minute information on this accident, News Radio 930 WBEN is where you want to go. Joining us now on the West Her Hotline is our dude Sam Padiatovich, Sammy P on the Twitter machine, co-host of Bet Sweats. You hear that show from 9 to noon on the Bet 1520 here locally or on the Odyssey app. Sam, my son and I were extremely sad to miss you in Boston last week, but somehow we persevered and had an amazing time while you were in Las Vegas, by the way.
I figured you would. I feel like the party follows you around everywhere. It's like Pigpen, like the cloud in Charlie Brown, like only you're a good time instead of a dark cloud, like a dirty cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys were a part of the Yankee Suck chant too, right?
Yeah, that was our section had that going. I thought Owen got his first time at Fenway. He'd been to Boston in his hockey travels numerous times, but never like spent a day like we spent, and had never been to the ballpark. And he got the full treatment. The Yankee Suck chant. There was a dude behind us that was really in the ear of the first base umpire, to the point where the ump was acknowledging this guy, heckling him. Like, it was good natured. We had a great time. We had an absolutely great time, and it didn't turn into like a booze soaked mess either, which I'm proud to say at 60 years of old, I finally learned how to get through a day like that without regretting the 4 a.m. alarm to get back to the airport.
I understand. Those remind me, those games, those booze soaked nights, they remind me of being a kid going to Cubs Sox on the South Side. And there's nothing White Sox fans love more than instigating and then finishing fights. I remember my parents used to bring my brother and I to the games and be like, all right, we're going to leave early and miss out on the brawl. So top of the ninth inning, we were out of there to avoid the fights and the cops, because Sox fans were never good at losing to the Cubs. So anytime the Cubs would win, they would chirp all the way down the ramps. And then some Southsider that heard the wrong thing would come swinging. And that's all it took.
Nobody needs that. Nobody needs that. Even this Yankees, I mean, there were no Yankee fans there. The Red Sox were playing the Marlins, which is what made the chant so funny to me that it was happening. Reminds me of Rangers fans chanting Potvin sucks when the Rangers would be playing the Sabres or something. Just, you know, really, really, really this on the nose type stuff. But it was a seemingly a very well-behaved crowd. It was my first time at Fenway since they had redone, you know, the whole place, really. I mean, I hadn't been there in 25 years, so we really had a great time, even, again, without you being there.
And Roman Anthony has proven to be a player that they really, really like. And, of course, you know, Yankee fans know last night Anthony hits that home run late. Red Sox are up 4-3, and then the Yankees give up a big one. I think this MLB AL East division is just – it's chaos right now, man. And, you know, it could be one of three teams that gets it done. We still have over a month to go, but this is what you want. You want three teams within five games – at the end of August, because it's really going to heat up and we'll see who's ready to meet the pressure and who's not able to. So Toronto right now, about a 5-game lead on the Red Sox, 4.5 game lead on the Yankees, but it could be any of those three. Let's be real.
I'm glad you mentioned Anthony hitting that home run, because I have a question. This is not going to come, I hope it doesn't come off as a complaint, although I do feel like complaining. I was out sick yesterday, but I found my way to putting in a parlay for the Red Sox-Yankee game. And when I got in there to start doing it, the first thought I had was, I want Roman Anthony to hit a home run. I want whatever the odds are going to be on that, I want to bet it. It's his first game at Yankee Stadium, and I thought this is a good bet. And he was not one of the, I could not find him in the, you know, to hit a home run grouping. It was like, you know, eight or 10 guys maybe deep, and he wasn't among them. And I thought, that's kind of weird, but okay. And so I threw it on Duran, and don't you know, the rest of the parlay hit. And if I'd been able to put, you know, at plus 500 or something for Anthony to hit a home run, I would have won, you know, $1,500, but it wasn't a choice. And do you have any idea? Is that just random? Is it my app being buggy? Like, why would they not have that's a prominent player. It's a, you know, young player, he's relatively new, not included in something like that. Is it because they're worried too many people are going to bet it, and if he hits, they'll lose?
I think you're going to hate to hear this, but I see him up for every sports book.
I know. Today is a different day. I'm telling you, when I went in there yesterday, he wasn't there. And
oh, man, that stinks.
I was so bummed out. I mean, whatever. You know, at the time, I didn't think anything of it. I even fell asleep last night before he hit the home run, but I woke up and saw he hit a home run. I'm like, oh, come on. I was that close. But
it's so bad because he smoked it. I mean, he roped this thing. It's one of those home runs where the pitcher just looks at the ump and asks for a new baseball. You knew right away it was gone.
Yeah.
Man, that stinks, because he's usually like 6-1, 7-1 every night. And when you peg it right and can't get rewarded, that's the worst.
Yeah. So I did find today, I have a couple of parlays for that game in. And it was acting weird again today. Like at one point, the list of guys to have two runs batted in the game was not full. Like it was only a half a dozen guys. And then I refreshed and came back, and there was a whole list of guys, including him, by the way. So maybe it's just me. Maybe I need to refresh the app, update it or something. I don't know. But I was really, really bummed out about that. Because, you know, what I'm doing, I'm bragging. I was right, and I didn't get paid off.
Let's be real. Your phone has betrayed you before, Bulldog. I think it may be the phone. But let me ask you, since you're hot right now and you got the dice, who's going to homer tonight?
I don't know. How much do I want to admit here? How many parlays I've got in on this game? I think I've got Bregman and Judge to homer in this game tonight.
Oh. Okay.
That's where I'm at.
Do a little clickety clackety over here. I have to tail this now, because if it hits, I'll never hear the end of it if I don't play it.
Yes, get on it. Get on it. Yeah. The parlay is the over, Bregman and Judge to hit home runs, Anthony to record an RBI, and Sox on the money line. That is.
You're just finding legs at the end. I love it. You're like, and this.
Yeah,
and
listen, everyone, Sam, you know this. I don't win a lot. All right. I mean, this is how I do it. I play the lottery when I'm on these apps. So that's what I've got cooking there tonight. So, you know,
this is very similar, though. This is an exercise I do with my friends every Sunday NFL, because my friends, they like action, like you. And it's fine. I mean, it's okay if you're doing it responsibly. But I start betting NFL because many people don't even know this. During week one, when the games are going on, the lines will come out for week two. So I'll start betting week two during week one games, because you can get really good numbers mm-hmm. while everybody's watching for the fantasy team and looking for their parlays. They put lines out for the following week that Sunday. So I start betting NFL Sunday and Monday, and then I get really good numbers, and I'm trying to beat the market. And then every NFL Sunday, 30 minutes to kickoff, I'll get a text from my buddy with an 11-leg touchdown parlay, and he'll ask, what do you think? And I'm like, what do you want me to say? Like, it's not going to win. I wish you the best, but it's not going to win. And then they're like, you're no fun. And I'm like, we see things so differently, me and my buddies from back home.
Yeah. To score a touchdown parlays, I've done that. I don't do that every week. I should disclose here, I get paid by FanDuel. So, like, for me, like, if it sounds like I'm being flippant here and irresponsible, I'm really using a quarter of the money they pay me to place wagers is pretty much how I do it. Like, that's my budget. And you know, I'm fine staying afloat that way. But it allows me to, you know, be a little more, you know, whatever, a little more aggressive, I guess, at times. But yeah, I get intoxicated by, well, let's see. Okay, Derrick Henry to score, Joe Mixon to score. Ooh, look at the odds on that. I got seven guys. Hey, it could happen. Place bet, and like, it never hits. It never hits. Like, three of the seven guys will score a touchdown. Like, oh, well, I was close. Not really. And it's just kind of frivolous, I guess, in the end. Sort of like the eight-leg parlay you and I did last month for the division winners. You know, like, do I expect that to win? No. But while it's alive, it'll be fun.
If it does hit, though, we got a ball game here. So I wanted to ask you – I actually wanted to turn the tables and ask you a question because I have a bet I've been thinking about. I will get to my Super Bowl pick in a second, which I know you know what it is. But I look at Josh Allen. They have all these books, FanDuel, DraftKings, BetMGM, have a number on Allen rushing touchdowns for the season, okay?
Uh-huh.
And he had 15 2 years ago. He had 12 last year. The number's 10.5. What am I missing?
You're missing, don't they take into account any totals, over unders on individual stats? Isn't there some cushion given for missing games? Like that
of course.
Right. So that's a place to start, I think, right? And he's another year older. There has been, like, every year, we haven't done as much of it this year because it feels a little played out, but most years, the Bills will talk about it, and then therefore we'll talk about it, being smart with him, protecting him, getting him to slide, go out of bounds. There's always a chance that they're going to use him less, designed runs and that sort of stuff, even like, you know, sneaks aren't a big deal. That's not like a big hazard, but you know, designed run plays for him, we're always sort of bracing as his career. He's, you know, maybe hopefully only about halfway through his career, but he's not going to be the athlete he's been for 15 years, right? So at some point that's going to slow down, and maybe that's what is behind part of that too.
The irony here is you're talking me out of a Josh Allen touchdown bet, but you're making five-leg parlays on a baseball game. Like, this is...
Listen.
How am I laying on the couch now and you're the doctor? This is so backwards.
You started it. I didn't tell you not to make the bet. You asked me for a guess or an explanation for why, like, what are you missing on why that number is as low as it is. And those are my two best guesses. I don't necessarily think that has to happen this year. It's just that some year it's going to happen that he just runs less. You know, at some point in his career, just physically, he's not going to be as dangerous doing it. And therefore, I think he'll even say to himself, I should maybe lay back on this and try to find a receiver to throw this ball to.
Valid point. I would counter, though, with, and I want to say this in the most respectful way, I think Josh Allen's a psycho when the plays break down. And I don't think at age 29, he's going to think, oh, let me get out of bounds. We saw a lot of those touchdowns last year. Again, he had, let me get this right. I just kind of scrolled away from the rushing number. It was 15 and 12 the last 2 years, mm-hmm. rushing touchdowns. I don't think a lot of those were like, well, a lot of them were designed, but like I'd say half of them were probably on broken plays.
Well, sure. The big one against Kansas City, that was, you know, I think Jim Nance called it the play of the year in the NFL, as he was calling that play. That was definitely, you know, that was not a designed play. He just took off and ran over someone to get in the end zone. Like, so yeah, I mean, this is a guy that completed a pass in the snow against the 49ers to Amari Cooper last year and saw Cooper sort of turn back towards, you know, with his back to the end zone, and Allen runs over there like, hey, pitch me the ball. And Cooper did, and he scores. So you're right. He's kind of a psycho.
Yeah, I think he's going to get at least 5 from the goal line. So then I need 6 more. Assuming he plays 16 games, I mean, again, and maybe that's not fair to assume, but knock on wood, he's been pretty healthy his whole career. I mean, he's, again, knock on wood, I'm literally knocking for Buffalo right now. I think that's a winner, over 10.5 rushing touchdowns.
So do you want to put that together with other stuff on them? Like, I'm a facilitator, Sam. That's what I am. By the way, Sam Panionovich, our guest on the Western Hotline from BetSweats. So, you know, MVP, rushing touchdowns, Bills Super Bowl? What does that do to your odds? I can't look because I can't bet the MVP in New York.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Okay, so I'm going to check the box for Buffalo to win the Super Bowl, and then let me find the player rushing props. As we're talking this through, though, for the first time in my life, I have bet the Buffalo Bills to win the Super Bowl. It felt difficult to hit submit, I'm not going to lie. And I come from a world where the last 6 years, I've bet Kansas City every summer at 6-1. And I know people will say, oh, nice, bold prediction. Well, okay, they've won 3 Super Bowls.
You're trying to win the bet, right? So, I mean, that's the idea, right?
So 3 of those bets hit at 6-1. That's 18 units. And then I lose 3. But I also, even in the ones that I lost, if I made that bet last August, they get all the way to the Super Bowl. And then I can bet Philly if I want to. I could free roll Philly because I have Kansas City. But I am changing my tune. I think bringing White back is a huge deal. I love bringing in Bosa. Basically, everybody important's back on offense. And Josh Allen's never been better. I mean, this is, whether people want to admit it or not, this is the best team on paper that he will be on. So, and he's at his best level. I mean, he's matured. And, you know, I listen to you guys, and you talk about how he's tried to add something every offseason. If he can play even better next year, this is the team to beat to me in the AFC, and we know the AFC is better than the NFC. So I bet Buffalo 7-1. First time in my life I bet the Bills to win the Super Bowl. What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? There you go. Sam is on the Bills to win the Super Bowl. It's funny. Like, I love that you're on that, and, you know, I'll probably get my way to it. Oh, in fact, I already – well, do I want to admit that I have a parlay with the Mets to win the World Series, the Bills to win the Super Bowl, and then a couple of Oklahoma City again in the NBA to repeat, and I don't know. I think I did Vegas in the NHL. So, you know, again, I couldn't just do the Bills on their own because that's so boring. So I need 4 things to go right, and, you know, last year I hit, you know, 1. I got Oklahoma City on that, but the rest of it crapped out. Well, actually, it crapped out. It was the Bills and the Mets, but, you know, we don't know what's going to happen there yet. So how about college? What do you got going for this weekend with week 0? Is week 0 a new thing, by the way? When did we start with week 0?
3 or 4 years ago.
Okay.
And I'm glad you transitioned to college, because I was just buttering Zach up before we got on here. I was like, dude, are you ready for Texas to go into Ohio State and win? And he goes, I almost bought tickets to the game. And I'm trying to get him going because, you know, he's a big Horns guy. Mm-hmm. And the Horns are number 1, and the Horns have the Heisman favorite. I know that's next week, and we'll talk about that next Friday. But my favorite bet, I laid 12.5 with Kansas. That has moved a little bit. They play Fresno State. That'll be tomorrow at 6:30 Eastern. Nobody's talking about Kansas, and nobody's excited to bet Kansas because Kansas kind of stunk last year. But it's ironic because last summer, off a great Kansas year, everybody liked Kansas. So now we're fading Kansas. Got it. I'm willing to buy the dip, though. I'm looking right now. There's a couple books that have 13, and a couple have 13.5. There's a 14 at DraftKings. So this thing is getting bet back up. I would lay Kansas at the best number you can find. If you find a 13, do that.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break. And best to you.
Do not lay the 14. Please get the best of the number. I think Kansas, though, I make the number 17. But I always want people to lay the right number. You know, don't lay 13 and a half and 14 when you could lay 13. I do think Kansas, though, opens up a can. I think they pull away late against Fresno.
All right. And that is, what game is that? Is that, that's later on in the day, right? What's the first game of the day?
First game is the Ireland game. Kansas State, right. Iowa State. Kansas State's a three-point favorite, totals 51. I didn't do anything with it. I know some people that like the under 51, but I only made two bets tomorrow. I made Kansas at minus 12.5, and I think UNLV is going to beat Idaho State by 40.
Okay. I know from texting with you in the last 24 hours or so, on your show this week, did you not talk about college venues that you'd like to get to? How have you been? I'm assuming you've been to Notre Dame because of your proximity to Chicago. How many of these like famous, have you been to Knoxville, for example? Like how many big time college venues have you been to?
Big time? I'd say Texas, Notre Dame. I wouldn't say that Iowa's a big time, but I mean, they take it. I mean, it's the Super Bowl in Iowa City. There's nothing else to do in Iowa but drink vodka upside down and go to the football game. That was a fun time. I really want to get to LSU, Death Valley. And my buddies and I have been talking about this. Week number three, Florida goes to the Swamp, or Florida goes to Death Valley, rather. Florida plays in the Swamp. They're playing at LSU. It's a night game. I've heard a night game in Death Valley is the place to be. So that's probably number one for me right now.
That sounds pretty good. I'm reminded, I feel like this window has, I shouldn't say it's passed me by. I've got more free time on my hands now than ever. Really, it's that my travel partner maybe doesn't because he's got three little kids now. But Jeremy White from our morning show is a Syracuse grad, and I know he went to see them at Clemson quite a few years ago now. And we had talked about, I think there was an LSU trip 5 years ago, maybe more, that we had talked very loosely about. We never got to the point of like looking at flights or anything, but we had talked about wanting to do that. And I never did. I've never made it. I've stood outside Notre Dame Stadium one time on my way through on a hockey trip, but that's it. And I definitely felt the vibe there. Like, I'm not a big Notre Dame guy at all, but being there, I thought, okay, I guess I understand why people say you got to go, because it was powerful just standing in the parking lot.
Any of these SEC schools would be just fine. I mean, you throw them out there, going to the Grove in Oxford for an Ole Miss game.
Right.
How about Tuscaloosa for Alabama? Now you got to weave in Oklahoma and Texas. I've been to Texas. LSU, Florida, Georgia, even Texas A&M, Vanderbilt, like all of these places, South Carolina, Arkansas, like the hospitality is so heightened because all people in the SEC want to do is have a good time and barbecue. I mean, what's wrong with that? Nothing.
Sam loves it between the hedges. That's the story with Sam Panionovich. All right, buddy, we got to roll. Have yourself a great weekend. I'm off next Friday, so I won't talk to you until the Friday before the openers. So, or really after the first game of the season on Thursday night. Take good care of Mike next week and be cool, and we'll talk to you down the road, bud.
All right, man. Good to hear from you, and let's go Kansas tomorrow.
All right, you got it. That's our man Sam Panionovich. Bet Sweats 9 to noon on the Bet 1520 here in Buffalo and on the Odyssey app worldwide. I don't know why I did that with my voice. All right, let's hit up a timeout. Matt Parrino will get his thoughts on the Bills' roster construction, how much of a crisis, if at all, there is at corner number two again now, and much more heading into a final preseason game tomorrow night for the Bills at Tampa. Matt Parrino, New York Upstate, and the Shout Podcast after this on W.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.